So we are thrilled when we can actually have within us young people that are rising up in their positions and their authority, and that we get to be a part of giving room and giving place for them. We are excited when women, when we're able to do that for women. We're excited when we're able to do that for the generation that most people think is just, you know, they're just all, you know, all they can do is just pray. I mean, seriously, we are excited to be able to elevate any and every person in their gifts in this body. And that's why we love it when young people come and give the word. We love it when women do. We love it when men do. We love it when the old and the young. We love it when Kay does. We just love it because it's all an expression of the living God. So this morning, like I said, you're going to hear from a little bit of all of us. We're all going to share and just hear what the Lord might say. And of course, you already know who you are, so don't be nervous. I'm not going to put you on point. So anyway, let's pray and just give God glory for a second. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you say that you love to not only inhabit the praises of your people, but Father, you just love to come and hang out with us. Jesus, you say you come, you walk among the candlesticks, and Lord, we just, there's just not a greater joy than to be in your family and to see all the members of your family moving and flowing in the gifts that you have given. Jesus, you said you've given gifts unto men. It says that you've released it. You're the one that called it. This is your church. This is your congregation, your ecclesia. And we glorify you. We give place for you. And Holy Spirit, you have free reign to come into this house and to manifest the glory and the presence of the living God. So this morning we honor you, we esteem you, we are empowered by you. We bless you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Good morning, everybody. As Renee said, there's going to be quite a few people, a couple people speaking this morning. But before we got started, Renee was talking about serving. And I've actually wanted to say something last week, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. But I wanted to thank you, Russ and Janice and Lori. There you are. Thank you guys for everything you've been doing. And Wyatt, you were out of town last weekend. That's why it wasn't in my head. You're here this morning. I know. You guys did great. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to thank you guys. I don't know about the rest of the church, but I've actually really, really enjoyed the last couple of weeks that you guys have just been down here worshiping the Lord from your hearts. There hasn't been any form of fanfare. There's not been a ton of performance and just all of this, but you guys have been a beautiful testimony of worship, and I have loved listening to you guys. So I want to give credit where that is. And I know you guys are just serving the body, but thank you for using your talents and your gifts, because it's a beautiful blessing to the Lord, but it's a blessing to all of us, and it's refreshing. So thank you guys. When Joe asked me to speak this morning, I was asking the Lord, just short speak, what I should be talking about. And I asked him what he wanted me to say, and the Lord just told me, I want you to love. And I was like, okay, how do you practically do that when you're speaking? And it was actually something Renee said, and it just kind of clicked in my head. Or something the Lord wanted me to highlight to all of you. And I know a lot of you guys live your lives walking with the Holy Spirit. You're constantly in tune with him, constantly asking him what you can say. When you're at the grocery store, you're trying to be a witness, you're trying to be a light. When you're with your children, with your siblings, with your parents, with whoever you're with, you guys are actually trying to hear the Lord. And a lot of you have that boldness where you just go out and you talk to a stranger, you talk to whoever. And the Lord, I feel like, one, he wants today to acknowledge that and say thank you. From an actual mouthpiece, the Lord wants to say thank you for your boldness and thank you for serving, because when you speak, you love well. And I know in our culture, there's a lot of, inside of the church especially, there's a lot of condemnation and shame, and there's a lot of bullying and competition and a lot of politics when it comes to speaking what you hear from the Lord, especially if it's a sharp prophetic word or it's something that's very black and white and it doesn't fit the normal message. There's a lot of stuff that comes with it, and it gets very difficult to the point where you wonder if you should even be talking right now, to the point where you go, I shouldn't have said that, or I should have lessened the blow of that, or any kind of thing. And the Lord actually says to you guys today, good job. And he says, you have loved well, because you're serving the people around you when you speak the truth of the word. And that's something I felt like the Lord just wanted me to highlight today. Like, when Joe gets up here every week and he talks to you guys and he teaches and he prays and he leads, he's serving us as a congregation. Like Renee said, it's not a position, it's not a title, it's not something that makes him greater. But when he speaks the truth of the word, he's actually loving each of us well. He's actually loving us according to our calling. And I feel like the Lord wants to encourage us, because today, in this day and age, it's becoming dangerous to speak. It's becoming dangerous to love in that capacity. But the word of the Lord is the most black and white tool we have. And that was the Lord loving us well. And it's the rule and the standard that we live by. And the Lord wants to encourage us, this congregation, to stand boldly, to continue to love as he loved. And that was speaking. He created the world with a word. Jesus came to earth. And what did he do? He lived by example, but he spoke. Jesus taught truth, and he continued to love us through every word that he said. When it hurt, when it chastised us, when it pruned us, when it refined us, when it built us up, when it encouraged us, when it made us feel warm and fuzzy, and when it made us feel like, oh, great, here we go again. All of it was love, and I feel like the Lord wants us to remember that. As we're seeing people being fined in prison, there's a pastor who's getting sentenced to a year of jail right now because of his stand. As we're seeing these things, remember the greatest gift that you can give is to love. And love has so many facets. It includes preaching the real word. So I just wanted to encourage you guys in that, because I felt like the Lord was really highlighting that. And just remember, be bold and speak. Be bold and love. And see which version of love the Lord wants you to do. Is it a hug? Is it a word? Is it a touch? Is it whatever? But just continue to walk in the Spirit and love. And that's what I feel like the Lord's been highlighting. The other thing that I wanted to just real quick blurb on that I felt like the Lord was highlighting, I don't know if you guys ever can relate to this, but this week I was having a conversation with a friend, and she was challenging me, because when I was younger, I had a lot of dreams that I wanted to do. Like, you have your life laid out in front of you. There's all of these things you want to do with your life that you love and are passions. And I let a lot of those go, because it just, the Lord was saying, not now. But I pretty much just took it and like threw it to the shredder and didn't even try to hold on to them, because I was just like, the Lord said no, so he means no. But my friend was challenging me to actually dream again. And she was like, why won't you dream? Why won't you trust the Lord that he actually wants to bring these things forth? Because I know every single one of us as kids, as teenagers, as young adults had dreams. We had passions that the Lord put in our hearts, things that make our hearts come alive, and each and every one of us has given up on those. Somewhere along the way, we've let them slide, we've let them become passive, we've let them dull out with colors, and we haven't fought for the passions of our heart. God-given passions. Like me, I love animals. Like, it's just what I do. I love any kind of animal, but specifically I love horses and dogs. I always have, and I always will. And there's no place that makes me happier than when I'm with a horse, riding, period. It's just my passion, and the Lord gave me that. But it's something that I've just shoved, because it's not something that in the grand scheme of things looks like it's going to fit. And I have a lot of other dreams. And my friend was challenging me, and she's like, why won't you live alive? And I looked at her, and all of a sudden, because I've never really thought of it that way, I just looked at her, and I was like, well, it's much safer to live dead. Like, legitimately. And I feel like the Lord is challenging the body of Christ to actually, in this end time scheme, in this day and age, to actually go back to the dreams of our hearts and actually take them back to the Lord and try and live alive. Because the people who most draw us to the Lord or draw us to anything are the ones that are vibrant, the ones who just have life emanating off of them, who are passionate about everything, and their eyes are just alive. And I know for me, I haven't lived that way, because I haven't actually lived fighting for my dreams. It's been a passive but good kind of existence, where I'm like, I do what the Lord asks me to, but I don't actually pursue the things that make my life vibrant, if that makes sense. And she was challenging me, this friend, who is Noelle. And she was like hardcore punching me. And she was like, but you're choosing a lesser life because you're not choosing to pursue your dreams. And so you are living dull. She was like, but if you would actually take your dreams to the Lord and realize that they're a possibility, what do you think you could live like if the Lord actually brought your dreams to reality and use your passions and everything you love and you believe in? And it just made me start thinking, it's painful to live alive. It's painful to live with a heart that's constantly shining because there's the upkeep of that shining heart. You have to constantly go forward. But there's a abandon. There is a vulnerability about living alive that not many of us actually want to embrace. But the Lord was challenging me on it and is continuing to challenge me to actually take things to him. And I felt like he wanted to extend that challenge to this congregation. Because in the end times, in now, and in history past, the people who lived the most fulfilled lives, who loved the Lord the most, and who had the greatest impact in the world were the ones who were living out their dreams. They were the ones who were living out the way that the Lord had created them to live and to be and weren't settling for that, just life. So I wanted to encourage you guys, as you're going forward in life, don't give up on where your heart actually is. Actually go back to the things that make you happy in the Lord, obviously, that are kosher. Don't like take that other ways. But go with kosher things, good things that the Lord placed in your heart, and actually go back to him and fight for them. And live alive, because it'll be worth it. So those are the things I felt like the Lord highlighted for me. And I just wanted to pray. Brenda, if you want to go ahead and come on up. Brenda's going to be giving us a word next. Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness, for your love and your mercy, that you were raising up a bride who will stand in truth and will witness to your glory in ways that we don't even expect, Father. That we won't look like all of those who have come before us, but we'll look like you created us to look. God, that we will be unique in our own personalities, our own hearts, that we will fulfill every calling, every desire of your heart in our own personal ways that you've set out. Lord, I just ask that you would move, that your spirit would move on our hearts, that you would bring passion to our lives in ways we've never seen before, that you would bring life and light to our hearts, our eyes, our bodies, Father, our spirits, that we would live as burning ones who serve and who love with abandon, God. And Lord, I just ask that you would be with Brenda as she gives this next word, that you would just fill her with truth and light, that every word that comes forth would pierce our hearts with truth. I just ask that you would encounter her continually, God, that you would bless her. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks, Anna. It's amazing how the Lord works. She was talking about love, so I'm kind of piggybacking off of her and continuing on with it. I was asking the Lord about some things, too, and he had me studying the story of Naaman. How many of you know the story of Naaman, about what happened with Naaman in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 5. Anyway, every story in the Bible has a specific meaning, and it has specific things that we can learn from them. So I'm going to share with you a little bit about what God was giving me about this particular thing. He gave me the Naaman principle, and the whole story is, for me, is a principle, but within that principle, there are some rules that the Lord was putting on my heart. So, to begin with, Naaman was in a high position. He was the captain of the host of the kings of Syria. So, he was in a high position. And the first thing that the Lord told me about that is, when you're in a high position, that means nothing. You're still subject to trials, you're still subject to tribulations, you're still subject to storms, you're still subject to everything. So following what Renee said, titles are just titles. Titles do not relieve you from any natural things that happen or anything that God wants to do with you. It's just a title. So that's the first thing that God had told me, that there are titles are really nothing. It's what you truly are and what you're called to be, which is a servant of God, which is first and foremost. The whole story there centers around Naaman, who at the time was with one of the countries that had captured some of the tribes of Israel because of their disobedience. If there's ever a time for us to be obedient to God, it's right now. It's right now. Because there is so much going on right now that God is looking for people who are willing to stand, who are willing to go to the forefront, and who will be obedient to do what he asks him to do, even against the toughest opposition, even against the toughest consequences. He is looking for those people who are willing and wanting to do his will. So rule number one is there are consequences attached to disobeying God's word. Israel found that out the hard way. Okay. And I'm just going to share just maybe three or four rules here, because, you know, as time permits. And I'll probably come back and visit this some other time and take it further. But the next thing that God was showing me was that in the midst of this all, Naaman had captured a young girl from Israel in one of his raids, and he gave her to his wife as his maid. The young girl had compassion on both him and his wife. And as the story goes, Naaman was struck with leprosy, and he was in dire straits. He didn't know what to do. The young maiden heard him talking to his wife about the situation, and the young maiden told his wife and said, you know what, I wish only he would, you know, he knew about the prophet that is in Samaria, because if he knew about it, he could get healed. So the next rule that God gave me was, regardless of the situation, you keep your faith in God and keep your compassion. Regardless of what's going on with you, regardless of what situation you're in, regarding the circumstances around you, you must keep your faith and your compassion. God is love. His kingdom is built on compassion. His kingdom is built on justice. His kingdom is built on righteousness. If we lose our compassion, we lose everything, because God is love and God is compassion. And what we see here is this young girl, even though she was in the midst of a very undesirable situation, she had been taken from her country. She's been captured. She's a slave. She's a maid now to the very person that captured her, matter of fact. And she still has enough compassion in her heart to say, you know, if you only knew this person that I know of that can heal you. She still had that compassion. Rule number three that God gave me was, love your enemies. You may find solutions. And this is something we taught about, we were learning about in Sunday school a few weeks back. Was talking about how that God had told us to love our enemies. And the very thing that was brought out was that God does not hate Satan. That was a big flag, because I'd been walking around all this time going, I hate Satan. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. But you know what? God does not hate Satan. Because then that would have made his words, love your enemy. So God does not hate Satan. He hates what he does. So therefore, with everything that's going on now, we need to be filled with compassion. Things are bad now, but they're going to get real bad. So we need to love everybody. We love our enemies. We may not like the stuff they do. We don't have to agree and receive the things they do. But once again, love has to be on the forefront of everything that we do. Has to be. Has to be. And the fourth rule, which is the one I'm going to leave with right now, it says, in the most critical and undesirable situations, it is up to us to present God as the answer and solutions, regardless of who the people are. So regardless of what's going on, regardless of what the situation is, It's up to us to present God. It's up to us to keep God in the picture. It's up to us to present God as the answer. It's up to us to use God as the solution. It's up to us to just push God out in the forefront and glorify him in everything and all that we do, all that we say, everywhere we go. It's our responsibility. Regardless of who we're dealing with, regardless of who we've been called to minister to, regardless of who may be persecuting us, regardless of who, as Anna was talking about, throwing us in jail, regardless of who's caused us to lose our business, regardless of who has caused us to lose everything that we have, even in that situation, we have to be able to make sure that God is glorified and keep pushing through that. And we see that issue with Jonah when he was called to deliver a message to the people of Nineveh. Because of who the people were, Jonah didn't want to do it. He felt that they were low life, they were worthless, and they deserved all that God had coming to them. But yet, God said, no, you need to go. And no matter how much Jonah fought, he still had to come back around and do what God told him to. Because that was a chance for those people to turn their life back around. So those first four rules are things that we can use with us in our everyday lives right now. And so I just want to encourage everyone here, regardless of what's going on, regardless of how people are treating you, and it's going to hit close to home. It's getting closer and closer to home. And when it does hit, please be mindful and remember that you are the representatives of God here. You are him here. It's the only identity we know. We've got to hold on to that identity and not let it be taken away, not let it be compromised, and not give it up. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I declare and decree over this congregation, Father, that we will hold on to our identity. Father, that you would make us strong, Father, that we would be bold and courageous, that we would stand in the midst of turmoil and chaos and tragedy and opposition, Father, that we would push forward your word, Father, that your light would shine through us, Father, that we would be those beacons shining in the darkness, that, Father, we will not compromise, we will not go backwards, we will not go forward or sideways, Father, but we will remain focused on you at all times, Father, that your word will be the foundation that we plant our feet on when we walk, Father, that we be firmly rooted in you, Father, that no matter what blows on us, we will not sway. We will sway, but we will not break, Father, but we will remain firmly rooted in you. And Father, that every word we speak will be your truth. And that every word, every step, every action that we make is ordered by you. And so, Father, we just give you the glory and the honor and praise in the name, authority, and power of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you very much. So the next person speaking this morning is going to be Bruce. If you want to go ahead and come up, I'll have you come up. Pray for you real fast before I hand it over. God, we just thank you for Bruce. Lord, we thank you that you formed and fashioned him according to your will, that you've given him a message, that you have given him your life, your light, and your love. So, Father, I just ask that you would give him strength as he speaks this morning, as he gives us what is on your heart. Lord, I just ask that you would impact his heart even deeper as he releases your truth, that you would soften all of our hearts to hear the truth that he has, that you have for us. And I just ask that you would bless him and continue to dig him deeper and deeper into your heart, Father, as he goes on. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. I'm going to stand up here. I don't really feel right about standing up here behind the pulpit because I'm not actually preaching, but I need some place to put my Bible. I'm in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him. Make music to praise Him. Meditate on all the miracles that He has done. Brag about His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Search for the Lord, and in His strength, always seek His presence. This week has been a trying week for our family. I don't know if many of you have heard, but earlier this week on Tuesday, our oldest son, Blake, went to the doctor. We were in an accident 3 weeks ago, and he was having some trouble with his neck and having headaches and things. So he went to see a doctor, and they told him, well, we think you're okay, but we want you to go get some x-rays. And on his way out of his doctor's appointment, he called my wife and was on the phone with her and said, you know, they want me to go have some x-rays done, so I'm on my way there now. And as he was sitting at the stoplight, a young man jumped in his car, and Blake tried to get him out forcefully, just trying to push him out. Well, the young man pulled a gun on him and tried to force him to drive. He actually ordered Blake to drive, and Blake refused, and the guy demanded again, drive. So at that point, Blake had the mind to jump out of the car and run. And when he did that, you know, a lot of things go through your mind, but especially last night and today, the Lord laid on my heart that, you know, that man was evil and was trying to bring harm to our son, just as the devil does to all of us. And Blake fled from that evil. He got away. And so we're very thankful for that. You know, long story short, a high-speed chase ensued, and the gentleman ran into a field and got stuck. He jumped out of the car and fired at police, and they fired back and killed the man. And you know, I hate to admit this, but in one way I was relieved that he was dead, but I don't feel, as Brenda was talking there about having compassion for people, God actually told me that, you know, I need to have compassion for him. His life is over. He can't do anything else for the Lord, but we can. And, you know, I feel that he was speaking to my heart about our courts and how I feel that the court system has failed our young people and people that do wrong. It seems that jails become a place for them to, it's like a country club, you know. They sometimes people in jail live better than honest working as citizens out here. And this young man had other offenses against him before, and they knew who he was. And like I said, our court system has failed because they don't judge based on God's word. They judge on their own understanding of the law, and you know, man's law is not God's law. We will all be judged by God's law, and that is the ultimate law that matters in judgment. And you know, so I just wanted to say this, that, you know, our courts have failed, but God's courts will never fail us. God's judgment is just and true. And you know, here a couple weeks ago, I had come down front and told God that in all things I was going to praise Him. And in this situation, I praise God because He protected our son. And as bad as it was, you know, we came out of it. We just need to remember in all those things, no matter how bad things look, God's always in it. And he delivered our son, and he will deliver us. He has delivered us. He died. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And, right now, Lord God, we just ask, Father, that you would just be with us, Lord God. And, Father, just that your path is straight, Lord God, and you are just and you are true and you are holy. And, Father, we just want to enter your courts with thanksgiving and with praise. And, Father, we do that in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we just give you praise, for this is the day that you have made, Father, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bruce. Everyone spoke a lot faster than they were supposed to. It's like 11:15. I mean, you want to come back up and preach? I'm just kidding. Because Joe was like, everyone can speak for like 15 minutes somewhere in there. It'll push all the way through. It's 11:15. As I was just sitting, I don't know if you guys have been noticing it, but over the last couple weeks, there's reoccurring themes that just continue to be preached. Like everything you hear Joe talking about and other people and what you're seeing. A lot of the churches, like bigger churches out in the world who are actually following scripture, following the Lord's heart, it's the same theme. And I kind of actually wanted to ask you guys, if you've been hearing anything from the Lord. Most of the messages I've been hearing are all preparation messages. Joe last week gave that word about the snooze button being broken, and the church is no longer going to be able to keep hitting snooze, because that's what we've been doing in a very large way. And all of the messages seem to be like shoring up your resources, like shoring up strength, like courage, and all of this stuff. From Renee's words about the heart of the body needing to be raising up others, whether it's the children, whether it's the people who are in their 70s and 80s and think they can't do anything except for pray, whether it's the middle-aged moms, whether it's the working dads, whoever it is, the teenagers who have a history of drug and alcohol abuse already at the age of 16, our heart is to raise them up and to teach them and grow them in their capabilities. And then you had Brenda speaking, and she was talking about the Nahum principle of loving with compassion, no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what wrongs have been done to you, no matter the persecution, always keeping your eyes on the Lord and seeking to see his glory in each situation and living with compassion and not fearing evil. And even what Bruce spoke, I really liked it when he said flee from evil. I feel like we forget to do that a lot, honestly. I know personally when I get into situations, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to dig my feet in and like, I'm going to box it out. Whereas really I should have done what his son did and refused and then fled. His son is alive and safe right now because he fled from evil, because he took action and he removed himself from the situation. And then the other thing that Bruce said that I really liked was that God is in every situation. And that's another important thing. But every theme that I feel like we heard this morning and have been hearing is preparation for a coming day. Preparation for moments in our lives, whether it's going to be tiny little moments in our lives, like that one, or instances where you're at work and something goes wrong and you're being unjustly blamed, whatever it is. But I also believe we're looking to a bigger time. A bigger moment where each and every one of us at some point in time in our lives going forward are going to make that choice, are going to have to choose to stand and speak truth and love. But all of these messages have all been about this. And so I'm kind of curious to see if any of you guys out here, like in your own personal prayer, I know on Wednesdays, there's a lot of the more interactive discussions on this stuff where we're actually talking about what we're hearing. But as a congregation, because there's a lot of you here who aren't here on Wednesdays too, are you guys hearing anything, like words of preparation that the Lord has specifically given you or direction to do? Because you can have a training manual all you want, but if you don't have a plan to implement it, you're up a creek without a paddle. Like, it's not going to work anyways. If you don't practice these survival tools, if you don't practice walking with the Spirit, if you don't do it, you're not going to be able to do it. I know as a martial artist, I used to compete, and if I didn't practice all of my drills, and if I didn't practice speed drills, and I didn't do these things and actually put in the time stretching, put in the time doing cardio, put in the time doing weights and building muscle, I was useless in a sparring match. I was about ready to get wiped all over the mats. It happened many times. But what are you guys hearing? And I would like to hear from any of you if you actually have a word from the Lord or plans. I know multiple times on Wednesday nights, Joe has had action plans of things that the church is going to start doing and we're going to be doing. But in your own lives, what are you guys hearing? Things that are working for you that you feel like the Lord's doing to prepare your hearts for this day, for this hour. Does anybody have anything?
I just trusting in the Lord. I mean, it sounds like we've heard that so many times, but in every situation, and trusting that He really has a plan. And at work, we have $1 million federal grant that we get, and it's a 5-year grant, and it goes for 5 years, and you know, it's just gone on and on, and it's been kind of good but kind of bad because we're under the federal government and we have to do what they say. Well, this. You know, this we put in for this grant, another 5-year grant, and we didn't get it this time. But we have been praying that we would get out from underneath the federal government. But you know, at that moment when we found out we didn't get the federal grant and a lot of the money went to Planned Parenthood, you know, we were like really angry at first, and like your first reaction is to, you know, just, oh my gosh, what are we going to do now? You know, and there has been such a peace and a freedom. We're free now to proclaim that word and not under the federal government. So trusting that God's got a plan, it just feels so good. I mean, we can't see it, and it hasn't been, you know, nothing is really tangible yet. But everybody is so high and up because we know that this is God's agenda. And that He is going to fulfill it. So just walking in that and work is just like totally different. Everybody is just up there. And so I think the Lord is in preparation. Again, it's that preparation to walk in that, to walk and people see it on your face. And, you know, I know it's made a difference in my life already. I mean, just, you know, so preparation and trust.
Anybody else have anything they want to add in? Ah, thank you, Crystal.
You're as bad as Joe with Sarah on Wednesday nights. You're next, Sarah. The Lord has just been really speaking to me about paring down, about eliminating and paring down and getting rid of and just eliminating things out of our lives that are not necessary, that we've always done because of habit or that have always been there. That's always, you know, we come home, you have a certain routine, and really looking at that routine and paring it down. Eliminating stuff that you just do because it's habit, not because it's something that you necessarily need to do, which really frees up more time for Him and frees up more time for the things that your heart is desiring, as Anna was talking earlier, that maybe you have left behind because you've gotten in such a routine and such a rut. You know, change is so hard for the human being. And yet the Lord calls us to be ready to change and ready to follow Him. And I think what He's doing in me anyway is eliminating a lot of things so that as change comes, it's not a huge deal. A whole lot of things don't have to change in order to do what He wants me to do because there's time there or because there aren't other distractions there to take away from it.
Are you pointing? I was like, I've got you, and then Lee is back there.
Well, I'm not entirely sure how this is going to work, but we'll find out. Many of you don't know really, and 2003, I became totally disabled. I was in a wheelchair for years. I was in walker for years. I was on a cane. 2010, God healed me, and I was able to throw that cane away. In fact, it'll be 3 years, 4 years, I guess, in October this year. So, but 2003, I lost the vision that God had given me. I gave it up, actually. I didn't really lose it. It's not like I lost my keys overnight. I just gave it up and decided that there really wasn't much I was going to be able to do for God. And I was getting quite older. I'm 67 now. But this year, many of you know, through the fireworks season, that there were a lot of challenges this year. Two floods in Independence. One which my son, I texted him at 1:30 in the morning. I said, there's a big storm coming this way. And he says, what are you talking about? It's not on the news. I'm not seeing anything about it. And I said, well, it's coming anyway. And at 2:15, he calls me in the morning and says, Dad, I need help. So, you know, I rush up there, and last year we had the flood, and it was really bad. This year, it was much worse. We had all the assortment and display packs on the north side were completely out in the water off of the stands they were on. All the tables on the west side were completely turned over. All the product was out in the middle of the water. And that was just the beginning. And then we had the tornado in Lee Summit. Then we had a flood in Greenwood. So three out of the six tents that we had major problems. As a result, and I need to back up just for a minute, because for the last year or two, I've been talking about, well, can I go back to work? Can I at least get a part-time job? Can I do something? Because I don't like sitting around. I don't know how you are, but finding work is the hardest thing for me to do. I'd much rather be doing something. And I thought, well, if I could just work two or three days a week, you know, part-time, 4 hours a day or something, that would be good. I like getting out in the midst of people. I enjoy talking to people, particularly about their relationship with God and this kind of thing. But I somehow or other, through the process of all those years of not doing something, I kind of lost the vision of what that was all about. Well, this year through the fireworks, I worked a lot of hours. I worked 162 hours in 2 weeks, and it's got nothing to do about me. Because what God showed me through that, yeah, I'm 67 years old, and what I was thinking of, I was limiting myself. I was saying, I could work 2 or 3 days a week. I found out I can do more than that. You know? I can do more. You know? I don't have to live in the mediocrity that I was living in. You know, I can rise above that. Not only can I go out and physically have contact with people and work people, I can fulfill the ministry that God called me into years ago because He's enabled me. Not because I was able to do it on my own. I just did it. God strengthened me. He empowered me. He brought me through it. I was able to fulfill what needed to be done. And I know because of God's faithfulness through that, I can continue on and do the rest until He's ready to take me out of this world. Amen? Amen. So I just want to give God the glory for His revelation to me. And I want to encourage you that you may have given up because of any number of reasons. what God had revealed to you, and for what he has given you the desire for in your heart to serve him, don't give up. You know, God has not given up on you. He has not withdrawn his promises to you. He has not withdrawn his callings for you. You are his ambassador to fulfill whatever it is that he has called you to do. And you are more than able because he has made you more than able to do that. Amen.
Anna was talking about strategy, and it dawned on me that the Lord has been speaking to me about a new strategy, which is kind of interesting. You know, when we have our schedules, and they're very full schedules, which I have one, and a very busy job, that sometimes it's hard to think outside the box of your job, knowing that the Lord wants to use your job to influence the mountain. Even though you do, you think that you've arrived at your place of influence, and the Lord says, no, I'm taking you deeper. I don't know if you guys remember, but Wednesday night, I really feel like the Lord was saying he's taking us deeper into the places of influence and whatever mountain he's called us. We're going deeper into those places that we haven't arrived, that there's deeper. So it was last week I got a call from an agent from another company that I do not work for, asked if we could have lunch. Well, you know, I've been around long enough to know that that meant that that person wanted something, right? Because we have no relationship at all. And I was thinking of ways to decline the offer. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want you to go. Because, number one, somebody that you know has been imparting some things directly and indirectly into this individual. And I want you to go because even though there's an agenda involved, I'm going to turn it to my agenda. So I'm like, okay, here we go. So I didn't ask this person what they wanted because I already knew in the natural what they wanted. You know, obviously they wanted to try to solicit me to come work for them. So I knew all that. But so I said, yeah, that would be great. Love to have lunch with you. So it was the day before lunch. This person said, oh, by the way, this certain person hasn't met you either, and they would like to come. I'm like, okay, great. You know, great. I would love to meet an associate of yours. I don't know them, but great. So we get to this place and begin to have lunch, and this individual was a young man who had just became the broker of this regional real estate company. And he's a very young man. And so as we began to talk, obviously, it was a very soft, treading, you know, solicitation of trying to get me to come to work for them. But then the Lord also began to do some soft treading and began to release some things to them from him, from his heart and from his spirit. Come to find out through just, you know, because the Lord, he pulls things from you. He pulls from your heart and you just can't even help it. And so when you're just allowing the Lord to work, just listening to the Holy Spirit, allowing him to work through you, he'll begin to pull at those issues and begin to implant things and the truth. And found out that this young man, this broker, had lost his father to cancer and just some other things. And so the Lord just began to influence and impart. And I began to see the whole message of the original plan of that lunch begin to turn. It began to turn toward the goodness of God and his plan for our life and how there's a higher call to living other than just to live to make money, even though God does, you know, obviously he loves to, for us to, you know, the wealth of the wicked is laid in store for the righteous, and he loves to give us unrighteous mammon so that we can, by our good stewardship, you know, offer it back to the Lord. So I just want to encourage you guys, because that was something that the Lord really showed me. He spoke it and he showed me, is that he's taking us into deeper levels of influence into our mountains. And you can be on multiple mountains. I mean, you can be in the religion mountain, the business mountain, you know, entertainment mountain. You can be in different places. But even you might think, well, I'm in no mountain because I don't do anything. You're in a relational mountain. You've got a family. You've got friends, you know. You might be in a restaurant and all of a sudden Holy Spirit starts pricking on you. So I just want to encourage you guys, we're going into a deeper place here. We're going into deeper places and deeper. And so that was just a really a good thing for me, is that I knew what looked like it was going to be one thing, the Lord turned it. And it was completely different. And honestly, by the end of our thing, you know, I don't even know how to say it, except for they were just tongue-tied because they didn't even know what to say, because the Lord began to visit his goodness. over them and begin to reveal who he really was to them. And he so desires to do that, guys. He is so desires for people to actually see that he's a good God, that he extends his mercy and his love, especially for people that don't know him, especially because they have no concept. They don't even know what that looks like or what that is. But he'll actually give you words that will penetrate a place in their heart that they will know is coming from him, because no one else knows what you just said. No one knows that was a secret cry of their heart or an issue of their heart. Nobody knew but God. So I just want to encourage you guys. I feel like that was a deeper strategy that the Lord has just kind of revealed to me too, is to be ready for those, I guess, divine appointments.
Just as we close, because we're getting to that time now, I wanted to highlight something Lee said, and it wasn't the context that Lee meant it, but I'm going to just swing it over here. But it was when he was talking to Matt on the phone about the storm that was coming in. And he said, a storm's coming in. And Matt said, well, I don't see a storm coming in. And how Lee responded, and he goes, well, whether you see it or not, the storm's coming. Like, it's coming. And the Lord just kind of highlighted that in my head. And so I want to just encourage you guys with that, because it's actually an encouragement to the body of Christ. Like, that is a promise to us. Like, the Lord has said how things are going to end. We have an end coming, and we know a lot of the things that are coming. And as you guys walk out your weeks, as you guys leave this church today, like, really be encouraged, but at the same time, be sober. I think it's in 1 Peter that they talk about, like, being sober, being vigilant, always being ready to give the reason for your testimony, always being cognizant, being aware, not being passive and just riding by. Because whether we like it or not, a storm is coming. Whether we see it or not, a storm is coming. Whether the world sees it or not, a storm is coming. But at a deeper level, I want to just encourage you guys in something. Joe has been harping about the red letter challenge. For the last couple of months, he has been challenging us over and over and over to get in scripture, specifically Jesus's words, because, I mean, he's Jesus. He has a lot of knowledge, a lot of wisdom. His words are life. And we have to have those on the inside, but scripture as a whole. And so I just want to encourage you guys. We've heard the messages all over the board. Preparation, preparation, something's coming, something's coming. Like Crystal was talking down, paring down your life, getting rid of the excess so that you're not completely rocked when all of a sudden something changes. There's so many prophecies about the United States and what the end of this year is bringing, the end of the Shemitah year in September. There are so many things that are just up in the air right now. The Lord knows, we don't all know in part, but things are coming, good and bad. Glory and darkness are rising so that we will be able to stand and not be shifted. But I want to encourage you guys this week and the weeks coming after to not let those warnings, to not let these messages, these words fall on deaf ears. Because whether you're ready or not, a storm's coming. Whether you see it or not, it's coming. And the Lord wants all of us to be standing, to be ready to run, to be ready to do it. Joe was talking about the surfers last week. I don't know if you guys remember that. He brought up the surfing world and how they actually go into the storms. They actually go into the big waves so that they can catch them and they can ride them out. And we have to be able to do that, but we have to take... I know for me, I get really easily distracted, and I can hear something over and over and over and over again, and it just kind of settles in the back of my head, and I don't actually take it and run with it and actually practice it and grow it. And so I don't want that to happen. And I know everyone in here's heart is to be one of those people that runs into the storm with the Lord, because Jesus is running into that storm, and he's a beacon of light, and that's what he wants all of us to do. So as you go forward this week, continue to pursue the Lord for his strategies, because each and every one of you have a voice. You all have a battle plan. You all have skills, and you all have areas of influence like Renee was talking about. You are all capable of doing great things for the Lord. Whether, and it's not by man's greatness, how we measure it. It's not by how many people you save, or did you raise this person from the dead, or did you save this person, or did you speak to 50 people. The Lord has a plan, And so I want to encourage you guys, and I know it's Joe's heart and it's the Lord's heart, that we take these warnings seriously, that we take these nudgings seriously, and we don't lose hope in the midst of it. We don't become dull. We don't become immune to that snooze button, because it's gone, and now we have silence, and we have to run. And so I just want to encourage you guys in that. And then the other thing that I heard the Lord highlight in conjunction with what Lee said, and so I just want to say it, and why I started to talk about the word but then got sidetracked, is knowing scripture and knowing truth is your sword. Knowing and having real revelation, not just head knowledge, but having revelation given by God on the scripture is your defense and your offense. And as a body of Christ, we have really come back. We have become really passive, and we've put a lot of gray. We've injected a lot of that color into the word. And like what Lee said, whether you see it or not, it's going to happen. And I want you guys to remember that in scripture, that you have all these different denominations and all these different churches and all these different peoples backpedaling on everything. And there are so many interpretations of scripture. But going forward, there is God's standard. Whether people believe it or not, it's the standard of righteousness. And so that's why we have to understand that standard. But Joe's been talking about reading scripture and knowing scripture and using it. It's imperative. I know in my own life, I don't have a good enough grip on the word of God. I don't. But we have to, because we can't be ignorant. We will be accountable to the Lord for our ignorance. Ignorance is not an excuse. Especially when we have 5 Bibles sitting around our homes picking up dust. But truth is truth, whether anyone wants to agree with it or not. God is God, whether anyone wants to acknowledge him or not. At the end of the day, he was, he is, and he will be. And so as we're moving forward in these times, remember that. The truth that you see in scripture, the black and the red, it's truth whether the world agrees with it or not. It's not subjected to the American moral anyone standard. So as you go forward this week, keep digging in. Don't become desensitized. Don't let up. Because I know things are changing fast. But thank you guys. So we're going to pray really fast and we'll close. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness again. Lord, we thank you that you desire to show your goodness to every man, every woman, every child, no matter of their age. Lord, we ask that this week you would light our hearts on fire. God, you changed the course of an entire human being, Saul of Tarsus. God, you changed his heart in a moment, and you set him on fire, and he lived with a purpose. God, I ask that you would do it with each and every one of us in this room, that it wouldn't just be words and it wouldn't just be a prayer, that you would actually change us and mark us, and that you would use us in the ways that you have set out for us, that we wouldn't try to fit a mold, that we wouldn't try to be a particular person, that we would be us. And Father, I ask that this week you would reveal those strategies in a new way, that you would increase faith, that you would increase our heart's desire to love, that we would love because you first loved us and it's who we are. Lord, we ask that you would put inside each and every person in this congregation and your body across the world a desire to know the word. God, that you would encourage the ones who are struggling to just get into scripture, who are having a hard time reading. I ask that you would fascinate our minds, that you would captivate us, that you would show that your word is living and active, that as every person reads it, revelation would come. God, you are a God who is unsearchable to your end, so I ask that you would reveal it to your body, that we would be alive, that we would live with compassion and love. And God, I just ask that you'd set a hedge of protection around us. As persecution rises, Lord, I ask that you would set our feet upon a rock, that your firm foundation, that we would not be broken, that we would not fall over, but that we would stand in truth. And Lord, I even ask that you would put obstacles in our lives this week to help teach us to grow, that you would bring to our attention that this is a training exercise and that we would milk it for everything it's worth, that we would grow in our gifts and our capabilities. That you would turn us into your shining bride in ways that we've never imagined, Father. We thank you for your love and your faithfulness, your compassion, for everything that you've done for us, that you brought us from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. I just ask that you would be with us this week, God. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good day, guys. Oh, and don't forget, if you're a female going to Honduras meeting or trip, we have a meeting at Crystal's at 3:00 today. So don't forget about that.